everybody. Happy New Year. It's lovely to see your smiling faces. Don't forget, smiling keeps you fit. Praise God. So, we've just got two or three verses that we're going to focus on for a few weeks in January and possibly February in Philippians. Philippians is an amazing book, and I encourage you for the month of January to read Philippians, because it's full of joy, it's full of happiness, and it's full of praise. Joy is spoken about 16 times in the book of Philippians. And can you imagine, he's in prison, Paul, the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he's writing that. Wow. We should smile, shouldn't we, a bit more when we think about that. So the two verses comes from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, if you want to follow it. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Passion says it this way: I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future. Instead, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Life works better when you know where you're going, that you have a sense of direction and how you're going to get there. And these few verses really tells us how to do that. I had to visit someone last week, Thursday or Friday. Lost with the days. And I knew where the person lived, and I knew how to get there, but I couldn't find the house. And so I had to put the sat-nav code in, and it took me right to the door. But the fact was that I knew roughly where it was, but I still couldn't find it because the two roads joined together, and that road was a different name to this road, and it really confused me. So it's good to know where you're going in life. This morning, do you really know where you're going in life? Paul did. And this morning, that's just what I want to share with you. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So the existence of a Christian is to be more like Jesus. That is our goal. That is our destiny. Do you know how to get there? To be more like Jesus. Then you need to read the Word of God. You need to talk to Him. It's called praying. It's quite simple. Just a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You've got to remember that Jesus Christ laid his life down for each one of us. He laid it down as a ransom for the many. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This passage shows us definitely how we need to grow as a Christian. Paul never knew that he had arrived. He said, I haven't got there. I haven't apprehended it. And I've read his past, and they say that he started 14 churches, pioneered 14 churches, but I believe it was a lot more than that. He went to all these different countries, evangelizing. And he says in his word, well, I haven't got there. I think, wow, I got some hope. If he doesn't think he's there, I know I'm not there. But I'm on a journey, as Gavin said in his word. That was a good word, Gav. Yeah, good word. The month of January, it's a new start, 2020. A new start, a fresh start. I will begin again. If you didn't know where the word January came from, then I will tell you, it came from a Roman god called Janus, who was usually depicted as a man with two faces. One face looked back into the year that had passed, and that face showed sorrow and dismay. The other face looked forward into the coming new year and showed signs of hope and confidence. Around this time of the year, we cannot help looking back. And as we do, we see what highlighted the previous year. Sometimes we look back and we see failures. Sometimes we see personal trials and tribulations. Or just unfulfilled plans. We've all been there, haven't we? Because we're on that journey. Projects and visions have failed. At other times, we view the peaks and the pinnacles of our lives, the successes and the victories. As we take a look back, what do you see? No matter what this past year has been like for us, one thing is sure. God has given us a new start. Do you believe that? Maybe turn to your neighbour and say, I'm going to have a new start this year, a fresh start. See, I might have stopped going to the gym over Christmas. It could be over 2 weeks. Stop going to the gym. But the thing is, I can start again in January. Amen. I need to, Tom. The Lord used Apostle Paul to give us some excellent counsel concerning the past and the future. What does he say in verse 12? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, I don't count it that I've got there, but I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. And that's the first one. We should forget the things which are behind us. Our past can be a great barrier to our future success. It truly can be. Many folks are in bondage to their past failures. So much so that they're afraid to try to do anything again. We've got a friend. That passed her test when she was 18 years of age. And she had, it wasn't a major crash. I think she just went into a wall, a garden wall. And from that day, she has never driven again. Isn't that sad? 45 years ago. Many years ago in my teens, I witnessed to a few people. And the encounter I got back wasn't very good. And it squashed me. And I couldn't do it again for a long time. Now, I'm sure you have experienced that. Or something like that. And our past can affect us. But Paul says, we've got to leave that behind, folks. We've got to cut it off. And Jesus will help you to do that, to bring healing in your life. Sometimes you might need to go to someone that you can trust. And share that burden. And they will help you and pray with you. Sometimes the consequences of past things leave scars. And they really do need healings. But we need to move on. We really need to move on. Paul says, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind. A new start. You've got to have a new start, a fresh start. And like Scrooge says, I'll begin again. Our failures and past sins need to be sorted. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, we all make mistakes. We all slip up. It's called that old-fashioned word, sin. But we have such a faithful God. As that word we heard from Gavin, he's always there to pick us up because he wants us to have a fresh start in him. This morning, you can come to him and say, Lord, I have messed up. Lord, I have done this wrong, but I come to you because I know that you are a faithful God and your son, Jesus Christ, took it all on the cross of Calvary. And by his blood, he has cleansed me from all my sins. The Bible says he's cleansed us from our past, our present, and our future sin. And that's why we can come to him anytime and confess those things to him. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? Paul's conscience must have been terrible when you think of what he did. He told the Jewish people to stone Stephen. He gave permission to kill the evangelist Stephen. You read it in Acts chapter 8 and 9. And then he started persecuting the church. He started dragging men and women to the prisons. We don't know, but
Can you imagine what he felt like? He must have had nightmares about what he had done, night after night after night. It probably left a scar on his mind. But he knew what it was to become or come before the one that he was persecuting and blaspheming. Come before him and say, Lord Jesus, I've really messed up. Please forgive me of my past. And he's a faithful God. He must have healed Paul's mind and set him totally free. So there's hope for all of you here this morning that God can set you free. Will you let him do that? Or will you carry on living in your past? I am thankful that we have a forgiving God who tells us in his word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins. A new start for 2020. We must forget past successes, you know. Past successes. Many times, I've been pastoring the church for 14 years, and I've heard it before as well. Eddie used to tell me. You have people coming up to you and saying, oh, I've been to this amazing conference. Oh, it was amazing. It was tremendous. Oh, I wish our church was like that. Yeah? Or, oh, our other church used to do this and do that. But we're not that church. We're a different church with our own flavour and our own seed. We can't live on our past experiences and our successes because it will trip you up, my friend. Our past serves a purpose of reminding us of God's faithfulness, and that's all it is. The blessings that he gives us. But we cannot live on yesterday's blessings. We've got to live for today. God taught that important lessons to the children of Israel. He provided manna for them when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They could only pick up enough for the day. They couldn't pick up enough manna and quail for the next day because it would just go moldy. God taught them to live for today. And that's what we need to do. Jesus taught the disciples to pray and ask. We know the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. Matthew 6, verse 9. The prophet wrote that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22. The key to a successful and fruitful life for Christ is to concentrate on today and not live on yesterday's blessing. This church has seen hundreds of souls saved and healings. In its 95 years, it's 95 years this year that it's been going. Tremendous healings way back in the past. Crutches hung up on the walls. Wheelchairs left behind. But we can't live on those experiences and those successes because God has got something new and fresh and different for us today. I believe it's still healing. I still believe it's miracles. And I still believe it's seeing people saved. But it's coming in a different way. Hallelujah. We should reach forward for the future. which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me, it says. That's incredible if you really think about that. Jesus Christ laid hold of me for a reason. It wasn't that I found Jesus. He found me and rescued me from the life that I was living. An awful life that I was living. He laid hold of me for a reason. Most people are afraid of the future because of the uncertainty and insecurity of not knowing what lies ahead. I believe the Lord's got the best for us in 2020. Despite, and you know, church, that Kathy and I might be retiring in September. What did you say? People really pick up things, don't they? Hey? I believe God has got great things for this church. Praise God. It should be exciting, the future. But I'm going to press on. The picture Paul uses to illustrate this truth is that of a runner in a race. And you know when you're running, whether you're cross country or whether you're doing a sprint, you are told never to look behind. Is that right? Never look behind to see who's by your side or behind. Otherwise, you will lose. You have to look at the finishing line. You have to look at the goal. And as a church, I believe we're looking for the finishing line, the goal that the Lord has set before us. We will never be all that God wants us to be if we have no goals. Paul had a goal. He knew he was saved. He was on a journey. He'd done amazing exploits. But he knew that he hadn't done much. And that's the way we should be. But he could see the finishing line. And he was heading for it. That was his goal. Hallelujah. Someone has said that if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like that one. Many have business, careers, personal goals and visions. You might have a financial goal. But what are your spiritual goals for the coming year, for 2020? There is a prize, you know. There is a prize. The prize that Paul talks about is his reward at the judgment seat of Christ. He is looking forward to hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." 2 Timothy says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day." Wow, that's a goal, isn't it? That's a goal to head for. Hallelujah. Righteous living now will result in reward living in the future. I'm just going to finish off. What a wonderful opportunity God is giving you and me in allowing us to serve him in the coming year. What will we do with this opportunity? Perhaps Jesus will return in the next year. It is certainly possible when we see what is going on in the world today. With that thought comes the realization that time is precious. What we do for Christ, we must do quickly. This morning, I want to challenge you to set some goals for 2020. Put aside the past failures and the successes, and let's band together to reach greater heights than ever before for the cause, not of ourselves, of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Is there something that is hindering you from pressing forward and reaching for the prize? Get it settled with the Lord this morning. Get it settled. You can't go on year after year with the same issues. Get it settled with the Lord this morning. Lord, I just want to say thank you for your precious word. And thank you for helping me this morning. But your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, to do your work now. And just touch every single person here this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will be encouraged this morning to have a new start, a new beginning. I will begin again. They will not look to the past and all the failures, but they will look to the today and the coming year with great positivity, with great energy. And I pray, Lord, that they will start to put some goals in place for their lives, whether it's reading the Word of God every day as their daily bread, whether it's praying every day, whether it's being kinder, whether it's serving, whether it's being a witness. Lord, it could be many things. But I pray, Lord, that they will make some goals today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the church as a whole. We just love and want people to serve in many areas, departments of the church. And I just pray, Lord, that you will put a willing heart within them to serve in any way. But Lord, above all else, I pray, Lord, that everyone will be of one heart and one mind and complete unity. Negativity will go. Gossip will go. All the negatives will go in the name of Jesus. And we just declare, Holy Spirit, to have your way. Jesus, have your way this year in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.